You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Again, the number to call us, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We're going to hear from the coordinators of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill, 1:30, and John DeFilippo at 2:15. And don't forget, tonight we're live on location at Rivals.
Whoa,
Rivals, just right here in Berea, I believe. It's right around the corner for the Mike Pettin Show on ESPN 850, hosted by myself alongside
Who's your guest?
Of Ken Carpenter, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns,
Mike Today? Pettin. Wow. Special night.
Yeah, so hopefully by then we will have an update for you on the quarterback situation if it doesn't come out for you during this. I want to talk about Johnny Manziel for a second, if you don't mind, Matt, and the Ohio Business Machine hot topic we have, and we'll kick it off with that.
We have those clips?
Some of his clips yesterday. Let's go ahead and get into the two cuts. Johnny Manziel talking about sometimes his inability to see and, you know, what that means for him as a quarterback.
There's going to be times where I'm going to not be able to see everything like everyone else in as clear as day. And, I think I'm getting better at it, but I'm nowhere near perfect, that's for sure.
What's your first reaction? We're asking all of you, 216-578-0850, when you hear that. There are going to be times when I'm not able to see. Now, Herm Edwards has suggested giving Johnny Manziel deeper drops more often so that he has an opportunity to create some space, or just running him out of the gun more often so he has an opportunity to create more space from the line. Height is one thing, and I know Cincinnati's got those big DNs that are both about 6'7", but Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, same height, not same quarterback. Before, I don't mention it. Same height. They have found ways to see. So to me, when you have a guy like that with Johnny Manziel, part of it is, you know, you move him out of the pocket, which we've seen. But in the pocket, your blocking scheme needs to line up with where you want to throw the ball to create those natural sight and throwing lanes for Johnny.
Yes. And to answer your question, being as nice as possible, I think it's laughable to me personally for that comment to be made, because as Johnny Manziel should and is probably aware since, you know, his time at Texas A&M and throughout the combine process and every analyst out there, you know, what's the one knock? It hasn't been his arm, hasn't been his vision, it's been his height, has it not? And so I think it just, at a time when you're competing to potentially become the starter of a football team with Josh McCown, you know, struggling with an injury, you throw out a deficiency, something negative, something to for conversations like we're having right now to come up.
Right.
And I think as polished as Johnny is at times with the media, that is a comment that should have been kept to himself, because now it's just a storm of speculation about the deficiency that Johnny Manziel and everyone's aware of, which is his height and it not being the prototypical height you'd like in a franchise quarterback.
Do you think that he is making, I don't want to call it an excuse, but do you think he's trying to give another a reason other than, you know, something that was going on between his ears as to why he wasn't reading properly the defense and making the right reads with the footballs? You know, the SB Nation article detailed, and as you know, we have certainly talked about some of the reads that he missed from the pocket that should have been pretty straightforward, standard reads for a quarterback that he didn't make. Do you think he's trying to come up with like, well, I just didn't see it?
No, I don't. I really don't. And the reason why, if you're going to focus on that SB Nation article about Johnny Manziel, and if you've watched the All-22 and understand, you know, what the premise behind it was, the throws, some of the throws were, yes, over the middle, but a couple of throws that they pointed out were to the flat. You know, and you're talking a guy is 12 yards away from you, 2 yards down, 3 yards down the field. And I understand they have, you know, big defensive linemen and all that kind of great stuff, but I think it shines a light on a huge inadequacy of his football game. If he can't see, okay, so he didn't claim that he was looking at the rush, as a lot of people think that he does. He just can't see open receivers. To me, that's as blatant as it could be that he cannot play in this league.
And I think it's something that he is going to have to be able to overcome if he wants to play in this league, and something he's going to have to figure out a way to do it. I do believe it can happen because there are other quarterbacks in the league that are at the same physical height as he is and have been able to do it without problems. So I do believe he has an opportunity to go out there and figure out a way to do this. Dino, let's hear the second cut from Johnny Manziel.
I'm not going to be able to sit there like some of these taller quarterbacks in the league and just be able to see everything happen as it plays on. There's going to be times where, you know, I'm not going to be able to see something. I'm going to have to make a faith throw.
Couple things to that. Number one, I think in some ways that plays into why he wants to get out of the pocket more often, because once he is out in space, he has no vision problems. So
correct.
I think that's part of it. Number two, he's right. He can't stand in there and stand tall. And listen, Drew Brees does it, though. He stands in the pocket and delivers
the
football.
This is the point that I've always admired Drew Brees about. And again, I know Drew Brees from my time in San Diego and have followed his career. And we worked out at the same facility that he still does to this day there in San Diego at Fitness Quest 10. And you ever notice when Drew Brees looks down the field, his head is tilted back, and he's actually looking through the bottom grates of his face mask. He's almost up on his toes. And I think, you know, in some cases, to the point that you consistently make, that didn't happen overnight. He didn't fix that or figure that worked for him overnight. It took him being in the fire and find maybe at one point in his career, early in his career, and there may be a stat for it out there that I don't know off the top of my head, that he had a lot of batted balls early in his career. So he had to work on that. The one thing that I will tell you is, and this is no knock against anybody, but Drew Brees is a gym rat. And I'm not talking about fitness rat. I'm talking about throwing the football, the film room. Like, you can't steal him away. Like, to the point where I feel bad for his wife and kids. He's that into football when it's football time. And it's a craft that he wants to perfect. It's a craft that I'm sure 10 years ago, when he was almost a Dolphin and went to the New Orleans Saints, no one thought he'd be top five passer in NFL history, which by the time his career's over, he will be.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a 6-foot quarterback with all the deficiencies of guys like Johnny Manziel, like Russell Wilson, somehow figured it out. And I think the way he figured it out is repetition, rep, 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 see it, throw it, figure it out. And Drew Brees doesn't run around like a chicken with his head cut off.
No.
They figured it out. The Saints and Sean Payton and Drew Brees have figured it out what works best.
And if I were to go back in my assessment of quarterbacks, what Drew Brees possesses are the most important things and the reason why he's so successful. He is able to process information quickly. He's able to understand where to go with the football quickly, and then he's able to deliver that football accurately. So he's got the mental part of it, and then he's got the physical part of it, which is actually delivering the football where his mind tells him to go with it accurately and on time. Johnny Manziel is still very much a work in progress on those fronts, and that's why when you went back to it, that's why I like Teddy Bridgewater. That's what he was asked to do at Louisville, was decipher defenses, read coverages, know where to go with football, do it quickly and accurately. Johnny wasn't. Not to make excuses for him, but I'm not surprised he has a big transition, and I'm not surprised he's still more comfortable getting out of the pocket, which is why, in my opinion, he needs to play, because the only way he's going to get better from the pocket is by playing and learning from the mistakes that he sees on tape. Now, if he can't even see what he's supposed to do, that's a whole nother issue.
Right.
We certainly will find out, though, if he can as time progresses.
And a big factor in this, and the gentleman that just walked by and we'll hear later in the second hour, is John DeFilippo. And I think when you reference Drew Brees and you reference, Petey Carmichael, who was an offensive quality control guy in San Diego when Drew Brees was there. And when Sean Payton got the job, Drew Brees asked for Pete Carmichael to be hired there in New Orleans and come make the trip, and has now become the offensive coordinator there. But it's continuity between quarterback and offensive coordinator. And if we look at a team like the Steelers, and there was the perceived butting of the heads between Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger, and then over time, the continuity between offensive play caller and executor as a quarterback, you figure out what works for each other. Okay, I'll give in on this to do it your way, but you've got to do this my way. And that's the whole point. And I think the SB Nation article really shined a light on that continuity. And in some cases, why Josh McCown is going to continue to get the chance to be the starter, it's because he's got continuity with John DeFilippo through their past together and playing in the same system together, that Mike Pettine, John DeFilippo trust Josh McCown to go with the football where John DeFilippo wants the football to be thrown.
Yes.
Which I think, and Johnny Manziel throws the ball where Johnny Manziel wants to throw the football.
I don't know if that's true. I just think that he's not yet getting there when he should to deliver that football. I don't think he's going out there and saying, this is what I'm deciding I'm going to do pre-snap. I just don't think that it
is natural. Well, he has a decision to do whatever he wants to do.
In rhythm yet for him.
Correct. Right. But my and I'm not trying to say football IQ, but from an understanding standpoint, and I think Teddy Bruschi this morning, as I was sitting here in the studio around 12:15, but just breaking down some of the quality play that Marcus Mariota's had as of recent, as a rookie quarterback, most recently against the New Orleans Saints, who was a bad defense, but what he focused on was taking what the defense gave him and getting rid of the football quickly. Marcus Mariota is as good of an athlete as Johnny Manziel, right? Running around, extending the play, zone read, out in the shotgun, that Oregon system that you're comfortable with, but yet getting rid of the football, allowing your playmakers to make plays. That's what was highlighted for Marcus Mariota, and what was highlighted in a negative way about Johnny Manziel was holding the football, you know, reading one side of the field, going away from where the guy's open and giving what the defense is giving you and just taking it and wanting to force the football down the field when it's not technically there.
Yes, and to your point, Marcus Mariota gets the ball out 2.6 seconds, similar to Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, even Josh McCown, Jay Cutler. We talked yesterday, Johnny Manziel, 3.2 seconds. That is the highest in the National Football League. The only three players above 3 seconds are Russell Wilson, Tyrod Taylor, and Johnny Manziel. Now, all three are guys who are like to get out of the pocket and run around with the football and buy time. So there is something to be said for it. Now, it's also interesting, I should note, that the quarterback ratings of the four guys who get it out the fastest are 99.8, 104.7, 105.3, and 98.5. So maybe they're doing something right. The quickest four out, 125.2, Tom Brady, 68.1, 70.7, 88.5, and Derek Carr, 111.3. He's having a fantastic season down there for the Oakland Raiders. All right, this offense needs to work with this defense. Complimentary football, all the phases coming together. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. But what we're going to do next is hear from the defense coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill. That's coming up next on CBD.